The ultimate purpose of these anti-SLAPP laws is to filter abusive cases out of court. So these are cases which are filed with the improper purpose of trying to silence speech.
Russia's invasion of Ukraine has demonstrated the worst consequences of allowing oligarchs and other rich and powerful actors to exploit international legal and financial systems. In this Global Insight podcast, we look at growing concerns over the use of strategic lawsuits against public participation, or SLAPs, an intimidation tool frequently used to silence journalists, activists, critics, and other public watchdogs. We speak to Jill Phillips, Director of Editorial Legal Services at The Guardian, Charlie Holt, Legal Counsel at Greenpeace International, and Dario Milo, a media law expert at Weber Wenzel in Johannesburg. They talk about the need to close legal loopholes and offer public watchdogs greater protection from such lawsuits. First, we hear from Jill Phillips.
They've been around for quite a long time. It's just that certainly in the UK and Europe, we haven't really had the language, the terminology around them. So, you know, media outlets and journalists and activists have faced what they would call abusive or vexatious or intimidating legal threats and litigation for a number of years. What particularly changed was the murder of Daphne Caruana Galizia in Malta in October 2017. And when she died, she was facing a large number of lawsuits. I think reports say around 50, over 50, including from Maltese politicians, from banks. But quite a lot of those lawsuits were being threatened in the UK, in America, by organisations that were within Malta. So there was a sort of groundswell arising out of that tragic event that sort of put the abuse, the numbers game onto the horizon and made people start looking at it. And from that, there was then some sort of nascent European movements, mainly from NGOs and activists, who sort of started saying, well, hang on a minute, who are these people who are making these threats? Where are these firms, these law firms based? Why are they doing this? And that really gave it a momentum, which Europe then took up with particularly. And the UK has been a bit slower catching up with it, but has been given a big momentum, partly because of what was going on in Europe, but also partly because of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and that put Russian oligarchs on the horizon. So there's been a sort of coming together of things, a perfect storm, being the phrase that people use for these things. Lawyers are expensive, particularly in the UK. Not so much, interestingly, in Europe, where certainly the litigation system doesn't seem to encourage the use of the big fees that we have over here and in the States. So that, you know, the costs of the fighting the battle can be more prohibitive than the outcome and the damages award. And that's a problem that is tied in with all of this. Once litigation is started against you, it's quite hard to get out of it. And the costs just keep rolling and rolling and rolling and can become very, very intimidating of themselves.
Charlie Holt has been raising awareness of the chilling effect of SLAPs for years, first in the US and more recently through the Coalition Against SLAPs in Europe.
We have seen these lawsuits rise in the last few years, rise in frequency, but we've also seen them become more shameless in the way that they are filed. We've seen the tactics used in relation to SLAPs becoming more aggressive as well.
Freedom of expression is a core component of any society governed by the rule of law, but also access to justice is as well. Does introducing legislation that is going effectively to clamp down on SLAPs, anti-SLAPP legislation, is it violating some of these principles, or what does it do with these tensions, access to justice and freedom of expression?
The ultimate purpose of these anti-SLAPP laws is to filter abusive cases out of court. So these are cases which are filed with the improper purpose of trying to silence speech. So they are, by any definition of abusive, abusive. And they don't belong in court, so they should be removed from court. The sort of early dismissal mechanisms that we see in anti-SLAPP laws is providing a procedure by which these lawsuits can be easily filtered out of court. For one thing, access of justice goes both ways, and it's an important component of a fair trial. And that regards, that really requires both sides of a dispute to have that same equal access to courts and have the ability to both present their sides. Now, SLAPs are really designed to squeeze people out of the legal system, specifically the defendant. You know, they are designed to be so heavy-handed, to be so aggressive, that the defendant will feel they have no choice but to retract their speech, to apologize, and to go home. And so if you do not have measures to ensure that the defendant is able to advance their case, then you can't reasonably say that you are maximizing access to justice, because the opposite is taking place. One person's access of justice is squeezing out another person's. And I think that's an important way to think about these laws as well, that in many senses, in many ways, they are safeguarding access to justice.
And in terms of the European Commission's recent proposals, how well do you think that they match up to what the Coalition Against SLAPs in Europe have been campaigning for?
Well, the short answer is very well. We published a policy paper in 2020. And then after that, we published a model EU directive. When we published the policy paper, we had called for the introduction of an EU directive. We specifically called for certain safeguards to be introduced, certain procedural safeguards to be introduced, the most important of which was an early dismissal mechanism. But other measures which we called for at the time, such as dissuasive sanctions against those who use SLAPs and protective measures for those who were targeted by SLAPs, all of those measures are included in some form in the directive that has now been proposed by the European Commission. And there are other parts which of the directive which are really strong and which will provide a very powerful mechanism to protect public watchdogs from SLAPs. So there is a lot to be encouraged by, and I think a lot of other parts which need to be built upon and need to be recognised as providing minimum standards as is intended by the Commission.
Dario Melo, who sits on the Committee of Experts for the Council of Europe on SLAPs, is also encouraged by the proposals. He says recent court rulings in Europe and the Americas also point to progress.
It's profoundly important that the European Court of Human Rights, in its decision in March, where the online media company in Russia was suing over retracting statements that were made about a Russian organ of state, in the context of that ruling, for the first time, the European Court referenced the notion of SLAPs in the context of its ruling, and said, in view of the power imbalance between the claimant and the defendant, and the growing awareness of the risks that court proceedings would be used to limit public participation. And then, of course, they specifically invoked what the Council of Europe Commissioner for Human Rights had said about SLAPs. So to me, that sets the right tone for Europe. And of course, coheres, I think, quite nicely with the proposals by the European Commission. I would also mention an equally important decision as the European Court case, which was at the end of last year from another regional court, this time the Inter-American Court. And the Inter-American Court in the El Universo case also specifically referenced SLAPs for the first time. That was a sort of classic defamation case, criminal defamation case, where the former president of Ecuador had laid a complaint against the media. And the court, in finding that the article had been infringed and freedom of expression had been unjustly restricted, basically also referred to the phenomenon of SLAPs expressly and effectively labeled what had happened in that case as SLAPs. So we already see, I think, some very powerful developments at the regional court level. And of course, lawmakers and policy makers around the world giving this attention.
Holt says the fallout from the war in Ukraine has also raised greater awareness of the dangers of SLAPs and galvanised support for reform.
I think there was a movement building against SLAPs before the invasion of Ukraine for various reasons. I think there have been a number of high-profile cases which had targeted some well-known authors and indeed politicians. But in the UK, the invasion of Ukraine really drew attention to the ability of specifically Russian oligarchs to use SLAPs as a means of shielding themselves from criticism and exposure. There are a couple of high-profile cases which really underscored that ability. Those cases have obviously, I think, been considered by the European Commission. And I think there are other cases which are of a similar nature, which may not involve Russian oligarchs, but which have been used to block accountability for illicit money gains and so on, and money laundering.
Philip says the prevalence of SLAPs in the UK has underscored how the country's court system has left itself open to abuse.
I think what's happened is, and the reforms that were introduced in the 2013 Defamation Act, which did go some way to limiting some forms of libel tourism, but they haven't really dealt properly with, I think, two things. One is foreign claimants suing foreign defendants in the UK. And then there's a secondary one of foreign claimants who may not have very strong links with the UK suing over here. And that sort of highlighted in part some of the Russian oligarchs, but also it highlighted the fact that, you know, if you're someone with an international reputation, on what basis can you sue over here as opposed to suing somewhere else? It's quite a complicated, sort of decision for the courts. For the courts to make in that scenario. So I think there is a view that these things need to be looked at a little more carefully as to who can sort of come in and use the English court system, at least in speech cases, to bring claims.
And there was guidance issued recently by the Solicitors Regulation Authority, specifically in reference to SLAPs. Do you think it goes far enough? Could it remedy some of these issues we've been discussing?
It was a good move, and it shows that the SRA have been listening to some of the mood music around SLAP. Let's see whether the tone and language that is used in some of these letters is less threatening and is more neutral, and then we can go forward from there. The fact is that the issue of actual claims is the tip of the iceberg, and underneath that is an enormous amount of pre-publication threat and communication, and how much of that actually does stop people going forward is very hard to quantify.